Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Okay. My name is Ray, one of the other pastors here at Calvary, and thank you for being with us today. We're glad that you're here as we wrap up this series that we've been in for a few months, Your Kingdom Come on Earth as It Is in Heaven. I thought we would close where we began. If you go back to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. If you'd like to join me in reading it out loud, that would be great today. And if I stop reading with you, it's because I just want to hear you. And so don't think I've lost my place or something. So anyway, are you ready? Throw it up there for us, will you? Let's begin. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, let your word go deep within our hearts today. May it pierce just whatever has encrusted our hearts and break it up and break in to where you need to do your best work, and we'll give you the thanks in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, thank you for being here. If you're a guest, there's a lot going on here at Calvary Community, and one of the things that is happening is that this in just a short while, we will have over 1,040 children on site. Yeah, that's good. You can give a hand for that. And therefore, if you clapped, I expect you to sign up out there. Turns out some more signed up last night. And so I tell you what, it's a five-alarm fire. So anyone who can help, stop out there and talk to Lindsay or one of the crew and just set aside maybe the morning session or the evening afternoon session or both. Just they need a lot of help. Imagine that there's over 1,000 children that will be here for a week learning the dangerous message of Jesus Christ. And so that should excite you enough to step into a place of serving today. Okay, now it's Father's Day, and to all our fathers, happy Father's Day. And you make a difference in our world, and we are grateful. And all the men of our church who make a difference in all of our lives, we thankful for you as well. Before we get into this message, I'm going to ask you to, if you're... You know, a lot of us, I don't quite know how to say this, a lot of us have great memories of our dads. They weren't perfect, but they were there for us, and we were grateful for that, and those are good memories. I've been a pastor a long, long time, and I've been around Mary, who started Brave Enough, and I know some of the general outlines of people's stories, enough to know that a lot of fathers weren't there for their kids, or caused a lot of pain within the family. And the minute you hear the word father, you immediately maybe shut down a little bit. And I'm going to ask you not to do that. I'm going to ask you to stick with me, at least through the message, and then, you know, we'll see where it goes. But we're going to talk about fathers. But as I'm going to say later on in the message, every Father's Day message should ultimately point us to our Heavenly Father, should ultimately point you to the one who will never abandon you, will never leave or forsake, will be there for you. And so we're going to do that today. You know, truthfully, when I think about Father's Day, I always thought it was Hallmark who came up with it. Hallmark cards. I always thought that they were the ones who wanted to sell more cards, so they came up with another way to sell their cards. Well, it turns out I was wrong on that. Hallmark had absolutely nothing to do with it. It turns out someone from Washington State began Father's Day. 1909, a young lady named Sonora Smart Dodd of Spokane, Washington, was listening to a Mother's Day message. Now, mothers were always being honored, but no fathers, and she wondered why there wasn't a day to honor fathers. And so it was by her inspiration, or the inspiration of her own father, William Jackson Smart, a Civil War veteran who raised six children on his own after his wife died in childbirth. Now, Father's Day began because the daughter, and then, you know, politicians took it over, and the rest is history. But it began because a young lady looked at her father and thought, people should know what kind of a man and father he is. Should know what kind of a father he is. And that says a lot to me, and I pray it does to you, that you and I need to let the world know what kind of a father we have. And I don't mean our earthly fathers, I mean the Father in heaven. And so we're going to talk about that today. At best, Father's Day is not about barbecues, it's not about Hallmark cards, it's not even about Toy Story 5 that I have to go see today. It's not about any of that. It isn't. And yet that's what I'm doing because I'm a good father. And so it's about gratitude. It's about being thankful for dads who hung in there, recognizing the men who loved us, who sacrificed for us, who provided and protected and prayed and taught and faithfully showed up. So we honor them today. Now, on Wednesday, I was down in California for a meeting, and I just got back from a walk, and as I was driving back to the hotel, I thought I'd stop by the cemetery for two reasons. One, my daughter, who had gone earlier a couple months ago, she said, Dad, I couldn't find Grandma. Couldn't find her. Well, that alarmed me. I mean, it would be bad if my mom ended up in Pacoima or somewhere. And so I stopped by, and I went to the wall, and I couldn't find my mom anywhere. So I went to the office, and they said, yeah, she's right there by your dad. We forgot to put the name up. And so we took care of that little thing. But I got to be at where my dad is buried, and I got to reflect on him. And, you know, as I stood there, I remembered several things. One, I remembered that my dad wasn't perfect, but neither was I as a father. But I will say, looking back all those years, my dad was there for me, and maybe it's the same for you. He was there time after time for me and for Mary and my family. And you know, when things were tough here at Calvary in ministry, he would remind me that God would see me through. Just having someone live in California say, hey, Ray, God's going to see you through was a big deal. And he would remind me. He would say, Ray, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. And just having that affirmation or that affirming voice saying, it's going to be fine, it's going to work out, was a big deal. In fact, I would say this, were it not, and I don't just mean to me personally, I'm honestly saying Calvary Community Church would not exist were it not for my dad. I mean, I'm just being honest. He supported us financially. He supported us when we painted the first building and all the stuff, his church down there, he pastored for 50 years. He did all that. He got it going. And so I stand here today because of my dad, and I'm grateful for that. Doesn't mean my dad didn't drive me crazy. He would call me. He had this fear that I was going to be lost or he couldn't find me. And so he'd call me at all hours. He'd call me just to make sure I was okay. And when he couldn't find me, he'd call someone on staff. He'd call the worship pastor, Jerry Duckworth. Hey, do you know where Ray's at? I can't find him. Or he'd call Scott Shirley, the youth guy. He'd call all the guys on staff to find out where his son was. And it was annoying. I was 40 years old. And so it was just annoying. And he'd done that my whole life. Well, I go down to this. I'm on a tangent. I went down to this camp, and I don't know if I was speaking at or just seeing some friends, but I went down there. 2 a.m, I'm talking to a friend of mine. It's 2:00 a.m, and the phone rings. I know instinctively who it is. I know. It's my dad. So I said, I'll get the phone. You just sit still. So I remember, as clear as day, picking up the phone and saying, before anything else, this is going to cost you big. Because I told him not to call me, and he did at camp. Anyway, today, so many years later, just one more call. Just one more call. Just to hear his voice. Had that Missouri drawl. Just to hear his voice. Well, ultimately, any Father's Day message shouldn't be about my dad or your dad. It should be about our dad, our Heavenly Father. Sure, remind us to be thankful, but ultimately, it should point us beyond our earthly fathers to our heavenly one. Jesus prayed these words. He prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, when Peter, or not Peter, when Philip looked at Jesus and he asked, he said, "Lord, show us the Father. Show us the Father." And Jesus replied these words in John chapter 14, verse 9. He said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen me, you have seen the Father." Now think about that for just a moment. What Jesus just said is, you've seen me, and anything you want to know about the Father, you can see in me. In other words, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is Jesus saying, if you want to know the Father, then look at me. He's saying, if you want to know the Father's will, then listen to me. He's saying, if you want the Father's will of heaven coming down to earth, then follow me. That's what Jesus is saying today. Just a few things about the Father. The Father's heart for you and me is immense today. I know you know that, but I just want to declare it one more time. The Father's heart for you and me is immense. A loving earthly father has strong desires for his kids. I had strong desires for my kids and my grandchildren, and you do as well. We long as good fathers. We long for them to be men and women of character. We long for them to love what is good. We long for them to understand and learn and practice what mercy and compassion is. We long for these things. We want them to believe in the truth. We want them to live wisely. As good fathers, we want the best for our kids. That's what makes a good father. We want the best for them. And so it is with our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father for us, for you and I as adults, 40, 50, 60, even as adult kids, he wants the same things for us. He wants us to become people of character. He wants us to love what is good. He wants us to practice mercy and compassion. He wants us to value truth, to live wisely. None of this should surprise us at all, because this is who our Heavenly Father is, and we see it in the teachings, in the words of Jesus that we hopefully are building our lives upon today. We know these things. Shouldn't surprise us as we conclude our series today and start a new one called One Another's next week. For months, we've been discovering the heart of the Father. We've learned what he values. We have learned what he loves. We have learned what he desires for you and me as his children. We've learned what life can look like when heaven comes down and touches earth. So the question cannot be for the rational thinking adult here this morning. Cannot be, what does the Father want or desire in me? That's no longer the question, because it's been answered time and again. The question must be, what are we going to do with what he has shown us? Right? How will we respond to what we know that we know is the will of the Father today? The Father's will indeed has been revealed. We know what it is. As I told you, I grew up in a faith tradition where you always prayed, what's God's will for where I live? What's God's will for who I should marry? What's God's will for where I should work? What's God's will for this choice, for this decision? And there's absolutely nothing wrong with praying for God's will in every situation and in every experience. There's nothing wrong with those kinds of things. But to be honest with you, Jesus spent very little time talking like that. He just didn't do that. He talked very authoritatively. He talked very directly. He told us what the Father's character was, what the Father's priorities were. The teachings of Jesus made it crystal clear that God wants these things from our lives. He wants us to love him back. He wants us to love him, heart, mind, soul, and strength. He wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. He wants us to forgive one another, to be reconciled to one another, to seek truth, to trust him in times of anxiety, to pursue righteousness, and ultimately, to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's will for us today. You know, to be honest with you, and I think I made this plain a couple of weeks ago, for me, most of the time, it isn't a lack of guidance or knowledge of the will of God. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of obedience. I said this last night, and one lady, and I know who she is, and it's just her, she laughed out loud. She laughed when I used the word obedience. And I almost wished I could have paid her to come back today, because it was so funny. It was hilarious. And I think I said something like, well, she doesn't think she can do it, but the rest of us still got a shot or something. You know, the goal was simply to never simply understand the will of the Father. It was never to say to one another, well, I now understand the will of the Father. That's not the point of what Jesus is saying. The goal is to become the kind of people who live it, who live out the will of God on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. To become those kinds of people requires a lot. But it requires one thing more than any other. It requires that it begin with prayer. And Jesus told us what to pray. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. The problem is when we say that, we get stuck. As human beings, we get stuck with that because we start listing out what we want God to fix. Our prayers are more fix-it notes. Lord, I come to you and I pray that you fix our nation. I pray that you fix our culture. I pray that you fix my spouse. I pray you fix my kids. I pray you fix my boss. I pray you fix my neighbor. I pray you fix these things. I'll ask again, where does genuine prayer begin? It doesn't begin with them. It begins in front of a mirror. It begins taking a good hard look within me and saying, Lord, before you do any of those things, work in my life, work in me. It begins in front of a mirror. Before heaven can change a nation, heaven changes people. In fact, I'll go one further. The way God changes a nation is by changing people. It's not through legislation. It's by changing the hearts and the minds of men and women who make up that nation. And it begins with the church, and it begins with the people of God. And if it begins with the people of God, it begins with me. It begins with me. For heaven changes people, heaven must change me. The first territory that the God of heaven would reclaim is not out there. It's this little part of me called my heart. The place he wants to reign and rule before any place else is within me. It's when you pray that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. If it's nothing more than a prayer of surrender. It's saying, let it begin with me. It's saying, Father, begin inside of me. Now, after the message a couple weeks ago, someone called me and said, Pastor Ray, I need to know how to do that. What's some steps I can take? So you're getting them today. You're gonna get four. In addition to all the disciplines we talk about here, in addition to Rooted and Brave Enough and all of the other classes we do on Wednesday night, the teachings, all those different things, give you four today. And here's the good news. You don't have to practice all four today. You just gotta pick one. You just gotta pick one out of four. I mean, I'm praying even now that the Holy Spirit lays just one of them upon your heart today. Just one. What would God say of these four is for you today? Which one? You just gotta pick one. Are you ready? Okay. Four of you are ready. All right. Here we go. First one. See if the Lord speaks to you. Begin every day with surrender. Begin every day with surrender. Now, I'm gonna tell you what you do because I'm guilty sometimes as well. I wake up in the morning, what's the first thing I do? I reach over and pick up my phone, check email, check the news. I hate to admit this, sometimes I even look at Facebook. May the Lord forgive me. But what if? What if more days than not, instead, we before we do any of that, when our feet hit the ground, we say, Father, today in me, your kingdom come, your will be done in me. Your kingdom come, your will be done in me. Not my agenda, not my priorities, not my will, not my preferences, not my rights, but your will be done in me. One prayer, that quick, right in the morning. How about this one? Now, all you got to do is pick one. Number two, ask one question throughout the day. Ask one question. Here's the question. What would heaven do here? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What would heaven do here? What would heaven look like here? Someone insults you. Ask the question, what would heaven do? Someone disappoints. Now, I could have said, what would Jesus do? Let's make it unique. What would heaven do? When someone disappoints you, what would heaven do? When there's an opportunity to serve, what? This is participatory, go ahead. Thank you. For all those who said that back to me, head out there and sign up for VBS. So, opportunity to serve, what would heaven do? When anxiety builds, what would heaven do? Hold a grudge or forgive, what would heaven do? See, here's the thing. The only way his kingdom comes and his will is done is by us bringing it into everyday life. It's not magical. It's you and I practicing the presence of the kingdom of God in our lives in daily, boring situations every single day. God's will doesn't magically appear. Hi-ho, hi-ho. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. It happens through those who pray the prayer and then practice living it in life experiences. That's where we come in today as the church. Number three, if that one didn't speak, you got two more chances. Number three, this one's not gonna fly. Practice immediate obedience. Practice immediate obedience. When God prompts you, remember the words of that great philosopher, Nietzsche. Just do it. Think about it. Just do it. When God prompts you to encourage someone, just do it. When he prompts you to apologize, when he prompts you to serve, then sign up for it. Sorry. Every opportunity. Here's the thing, and it's a cliche for a good reason, because it is true. Delayed obedience often becomes disobedience. Delayed obedience often becomes disobedience. Number four. Are you ready for number four? Wasn't keen on one, two, and three. How about this one? Remember who you represent. Represent. See, now you remember number four. Remember who we are. Remember who we represent. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are his ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He is of another country, and he represents that other country in the country that he's living in. That's us. I know some of you think, I'm on a tangent, and I can't. Some of you think you're Americans who happen to be Christian. No. No. You are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, citizens of the kingdom of God, who is blessed enough to be born here as an American. But it's a nuance, but it's important today. Sometimes I wonder if we don't view heaven like Disneyland. Like Disneyland. That when, you know, we go to Disneyland because for a lot of reasons, to spend a lot of money and eat churros. But it's like the Magic Kingdom. It's a place we visit from time to time when we're looking for distraction, when we're looking for life, when life gets difficult, when we just want to try and have some fun with the family, we visit the Magic Kingdom. But after we go to the Magic Kingdom, Disneyland, then we get back to our real world, right? Then we leave there and we go back to the real world. But that is not how Jesus describes the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's not. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not simply a place we occasionally visit. It's a place, it's the reality is that's where we permanently belong, right? It's not a place we visit. It's not a place that we come to once in a while. It is the place by which we are from. It is our citizenship that is found in heaven. We are not tourists. We are not tourists in the kingdom. We are citizens of the kingdom. We are not visitors. We are ambassadors today. Everywhere we go as human beings on a daily basis, we go where the king sends us as his representatives. In our homes, we represent the king. In the workplace, we represent the king. When we post online, we represent the king. Some of you, you can just forget the rest of the message and write this part down. When we post, we represent the king. When you get all fired up and you begin to let your little fingers flow, you represent the king. What I want to say is you represent Calvary Community, but I wouldn't be so vain. You represent the king. So let's be, can we just, I'll move on if you just say, can we all just be careful with that? We represent the king of the ages when we serve, when we love, when we forgive. We represent the king. The question is not, will I visit the kingdom this week? Catch what the real question is. Did the people around me encounter the king because they encountered me? Hello? Did the people around me encounter the King because they encountered me? That's the question today. You know, in all of this, and like I say, you only got to pick one. But once you pick one, then you can, then maybe when you get that one down, we can move on to the next one. Then we can move on. It's kind of like Charles Barkley when he said he got picked and he was got on the basketball team, Hall of Famer Charles Barkley. He said there was this guy. He said, "Man, his mentor, this guy who became his mentor, said you're too sluggish, you're too overweight, you're this, you're that. If you wanna, you got to lose the weight." So he told Barkley, Charles Barkley, this. I was listening to an interview this week. Charles said, he said, "We're going to lose 10 pounds. Now, I needed to lose 50. Needed to lose 50. His friends, the mentor, this player said, "We're going to lose 10. And then we're going to lose another 10, then another 10. Friends, you know, sometimes we jump into this Christian life and we want to do it all so quickly and get it all down at once. Can I just encourage you just to take baby steps? Just say, God, I want to open my heart to you today. And I want to ask the question, what would heaven do in this situation? Or your kingdom come, your will be done. Or to remember who I represent. It's the little things that add up. One day, you need to know, we won't have to worry about that anymore. We won't have to worry about that stuff because one day the Lord's prayer will be answered completely. One day heaven will come down to earth. One day, Revelation 21, 3 and 4, we read it a lot around here and talk about it. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. Now among the people, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I mean, we used to sing that old song, what a day that will be, a day where there is no more death. You know, I don't know how many funerals we've had in the last few weeks here, but a lot. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more mourning. Jesus the King will reign, no more brokenness or pain. The King will come. The kingdom will come in its fullness, and the Father's will be accomplished. One day heaven and earth will be united under the lordship, the reign of Jesus Christ. Now here's the question, if that's where we're headed, if that's what the future holds for those who are called according to his purpose, who have declared that they are citizens of heaven, then the question should be, how then should we live between now and then? How should we live? Well, if only we had a perfect example of how to live. If only we had someone who could show us the way. Well, y'all know where I'm going. Jesus is that perfect example, the perfect revelation of the Father. We're to build, we said a couple weeks ago, we're to build our lives upon the rock. That is his teachings. And we should also study his life to see how he handled all of the life situations. Here's my question. What did Jesus do when he understood the will of God? He just did it. That's good. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming what? Obedient to death, even death on a cross. Think about it for just a moment. Jesus doesn't just teach your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He lives it. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he is about to enter a hellish week. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Well, now understand, Jesus, if you pray that, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be led to a manger. You're going to be born in a filthy trough among a people that will ultimately reject you. You're going to live a life of service, and people won't always respond kindly. The Father's will lead you to suffering. The Father's will lead you to a crown of thorns, will lead to a scourging, will lead to ultimately to death on a cross. And he prays these words, prays them. Not only prays them, but lives them. Father, I mean, he's not gonna lie about it. If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But what does he ultimately say? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus doesn't just teach us the prayer, he lives it so that he could teach us how to live it. You know, here's the thing. I want to say that again. He doesn't just teach it, he shows us how to live it. Because I'm going to tell us dad something. And if you're a dad here, you already know this, but I'm going to make you feel bad again. bottom line, our kids are gonna forget a lot of what we say. Can we just all agree? They're gonna forget. I forgot half the things my dad said. And, you know, but here's what they won't forget. And hear me, this is maybe the most important thing I'm gonna say. They may forget your words, but they will never forget the kingdom they saw in your life. They'll never forget the kingdom they saw in you. Last service, or before the 8 o'clock service, I got a text from one of my daughters, and I won't take time to read it, but it blessed me. And it's words, and before I say what they were, you just need to know I've done more wrong than right, probably, toward my kids. I lived with the truth I had. I was better than my dad, but man, you look at these young men today and they've got so much truth flowing out of their heads. It's amazing. But she said, if I love people today, it's because I saw you love people. Friends, it doesn't get any better than that. They won't remember what we say. They'll remember what they saw. The question for me and for you is, did they see the kingdom? Do they see the kingdom in us? Will they see forgiveness? Will they see humility? Will they see prayer, repentance? Will they see faith, hope, and love in us today? Nah, the greatest gift a father can give isn't wealth, and it's not success. It's not even protection. The greatest gift we can give is showing them what the Father in heaven is like. And by the way, those who are not fathers here today, and includes you ladies, the same applies to you as well. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day that prayer will be answered completely. Until then, we live between the cross and the crown that we will receive. Until then, we lead between the prayer and its fulfillment, between the kingdom already present and the kingdom that is to come. And every day, we have the privilege of representing the King in this world today. You know, this series is ending as of today. This series is ending. But when you wake up tomorrow, when you wake up the next day, I would ask you to remember whose child you are. I would ask you to remember which kingdom you are a part of and whose name we carry. And then let's go and become God's answer to the prayer, your kingdom come. Let the answer be me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I can't close this without pointing out this fact. For many today is filled with gratitude and wonderful memories of our parents, of our dads. But the harsh reality is this, and it happens more often than I can share with you. For others, today carries sorrow. Some lost their dads when they were very young, and they wish they had a dad today to honor and to thank. Some fathers were emotionally distant. They were in the home, but they were distant. They didn't understand or know how to interact with the kids, with you. Some fathers were just flat absent. Worse than that, some of you experienced words and actions and wounds that still affect you today. That's the reality of this size of group this morning. Some of you can't separate the word father from the word pain. They're almost synonymous for you. At the end of this moment, God is not asking you to pretend. He's not asking you to fake it till you make it. In fact, quite the opposite. There are things in your life you need to maybe be honest about for maybe the first time. You need to be honest and just say, you know, as much as I love my dad, when I sat in counseling with Mary down with Ted Roberts and his wife, I've told you the story. He said, well, we're going to talk about your fathers, your dads today. And I'm thinking, because Mary came from a very abusive background. Her dad was a piece of work. And I'm thinking, boy, she's in for it. And Ted looked at me and he said, Ray, I want to talk about your dad. And immediately I started crying, started weeping. Because there were things. There was stuff. Some of you in this room, and you've heard us say this before, but the reality is some of you in this room, that father wound is crushing you today. And your heavenly father, He's not asking you or me to minimize the pain. Here's what he is asking you not to do. He's asking you not to allow your broken earthly father to define the character of your heavenly father. Because your heavenly father is different than your earthly father. Just is. One of the reasons Jesus came is to reveal what the Father is like. He is patient and he is compassionate. He is merciful and he is faithful and he is present and he will never abandon, will never leave nor forsake, and he will never stop loving you. The beauty of today is good fathers are a reflection of him. Good fathers point us to our Heavenly Father. Broken fathers remind us why we need him. Why we need him today. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to receive communion. And as they come and serve us communion today, they're going to sing behind us, and we're just going to sit and reflect for a moment. We're just going to worship the Lord for a few minutes, and then we'll come up and have communion together. Let's worship the Lord today. Make sure you take both cups. The wafer's on the bottom.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.